We have with us today also Joan McNeil, who is with the Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East. It's an organization that works to bring to attention, to lobby the Palestinian cause among the political leadership as well as the larger Canadian public. And I understand that Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East have just opened an office in Toronto. I believe they are Montreal-based. I am on their mailing list, and I receive their press releases and other releases, and they do a lot of good work. So Joan is going to talk to us about this organization, tell us something about its work. And I think our volunteers are also going to go around and distribute some forms related to this organization. They'd like to have your contact details so that they can keep in touch with you and let you know the work that they are doing. So could you please welcome Joan McNeil from the Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East.
I'm very pleased to be here. I wish it were a happier occasion. I wish we were celebrating the liberation of Gaza and talking about when we were going to visit there. But there's still a lot of work to do before that will be possible. I want to talk a bit about the work that we do, because I think the other guests have already given, a pretty good overview of the situation in Gaza. And many of you, I know, were riveted to the news media, the screens, when the latest, and it's just the latest, of the bombardments of Gaza happened. So I'll talk a little bit about Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East. Our mission is to enable average Canadians, and I mean people like you, you know, and Canadian legislators to contribute to justice, peace, and development in the Middle East. And in everything that we do, all of our stances, our research, and the focus of our work, and what we push the people that we deal with, say when we're talking with members of parliament, for example, our stances are oriented to three core values. One is the belief that all positions, our stances and the government stances, and the positions of, say, local politicians and ordinary Canadians, all of those stances should respect international law and fundamental human rights charters. A second belief is that all parties to any of the conflicts must be held to the same standards. And what do I mean when I say that? We don't complain that the Canadian government is critical of, say, a suicide bombing or rockets being fired at a school or a bus or something. For us, that's not the problem. The problem is that our government is silent when Israel bombards Gaza or bulldozes homes in the West Bank or harasses Palestinians day after day, hour after hour, decade after decade. It's the silence that's the problem. Not the you know, occasional criticism of actions that in fact are, in many cases, do violate international law. And our third core belief is that violence does not lead to durable solutions. We work on a range of issues, to do with the Middle East, but the Palestinian issue is the sort of central to our work, because it's the most durable, longest, most dreadful, horrible, destabilizing conflict in the Middle East. And I know right now there is a lot of publicity about the situation in Syria and also right now in Egypt, but I think if you compare the suffering of the Palestinian people over many, many decades, it's every bit as serious and grave as the situation in Syria or the situation as it's sort of developing in Egypt. In fact, Egypt pales in comparison to what the Palestinian people have been through. We have about 38,000 supporters across the country. We get involved in the following. We do advocacy work with elected representatives. That means that we train volunteers in how to discuss these issues with members of parliament and other politicians, because many times decisions are made at a local level. So we train the volunteers, average, ordinary people like you. You know, we train them and we provide them with the facts, the figures, the arguments, the documentation, and the training in how to present it that they need to go and talk with members of parliament about these issues and push them to take a more appropriate stance. We train dozens of volunteers every year. We've spoken this year with, I think, about 72 members of parliament this year. It's having an impact. Another way that we do advocacy with the members of parliament is action alerts. So in a while, somebody will be distributing these. That's why we need contact data, so that we can correlate your email address with a postal code, and that tells us which MPs we should be putting you in touch with. And even though it can sometimes feel quite hopeless, this government is truly dreadful. We have been told by even members of the Conservative caucus that, as some of them have said, you know, you're the only ones who are telling us the truth. You know, everybody else, we just get nonsense from the other side. Many, even some members of the Conservative caucus, are nervous about the positions that this Harper government has taken. But we are having an impact with the other parties. I think it's, for example, we were speaking with people in the NDP a while ago, and one person said, every week there's a meeting, you know, at which the members, the staff from the different MPs' offices get together, and they're asked, what's coming in your inbox? And a couple weeks ago, people said, well, this week it's about Gaza. And someone from the leader's office said, well, what's it looking like? Was it pro, against? And people said, 80% against. And they said, oh, 80% against the Palestinians? No, 80% against Israel. So we know that that would not have been true 10 or 15 years ago. So I think bit by bit, the work that our group and also many other groups are doing is having an impact. We know that the other side is upset about it because we know, for example, the Center for Israeli Affairs, Israeli and Jewish Affairs, has a couple of staff people whose main job is to track what CJPME does. You know, they can afford to have a couple of people who do nothing else but watch what we do and try and neutralize what we do. We also host public events. Some of you have probably been to some of them. For example, recently we hosted Dr. Mostafa Barghouti, who's a Palestinian legislator and a physician and a peace activist. We've had him twice now over the last couple of years. He gave an excellent lecture here on December 1st. And we're going to be having Robert Fisk, who's a British journalist, a veteran journalist in the Middle East. He'll be here on January 21st. He'll be speaking out at York in the afternoon and downtown in Toronto in the evening, so I hope you'll be able to make it. We've brought many, many speakers over the years. That's one of the events that a lot of people are most aware of. We also alert people who are on our mailing list to situations when Canadian media outlets need to be told to pull up their socks to improve their coverage, or sometimes when they do provide really good coverage and they are going to be the target of a campaign to criticize them, we also will let you know and say, please send a note of support into this media outlet, this newspaper, or this, or the CBC, or this group, or that group. Because we've been told that when, for example, when the CBC interviews a Palestinian, every time they interview a Palestinian, they get between 2,000 and 5,000 complaints within 72 hours. Okay? And similarly, with our work with the members of parliament, we go twice a year. That's all we can afford because we don't have that much money. Well, members of parliament have said, you know, the other side is in here 2-3 times a week. You know, so, you know, let's say you have to be here more. You have to contact us more. We have to hear from you more. We also host exhibitions of photos and drawings. Some of you, I think, saw Human Drama in Gaza a few years ago. That was an exhibition of photos taken during the assault that began on the 27th of December in 2008 and continued for 22 days. We also recently hosted an exhibition of drawings by children from Gaza. And some of you, I think, might have seen that. It was downtown in several locations down. And if you're interested in bringing that exhibition here to Richmond Hill or to Markham, please talk with me afterwards because we've got the exhibition in our hands for, you know, another few months, and we would be interested in having it seen by more people. The other thing that we do is a lot of research. You can check our website, cjpme.org. We've done over 150 fact sheets on specific situations and issues. So a lot of them focus on one aspect or another of the Palestinian situation. But there are also fact sheets on Egypt, Bahrain, Libya, Syria, some of the, I think, Jordan as well, and fact sheets about various aspects of Canadian foreign policy to do with the Middle East. We've also produced about 25, 26 position papers. The position papers are a bit different. They're oriented towards making recommendations for concrete changes in Canadian foreign policy. So we do that. We issue press releases as well. We've tried to sort of cut back a bit on that, but recently with the situation in Gaza, I think we were issuing, you know, one a day for a while. The point of our press releases is to provide the media with an alternative perspective and alternative information about what is going on. Something that differs a bit from the wire stories that they're getting from Associated Press or Reuters, at least in the analysis. Sometimes, for example, the way that the media was handling initially, or about to handle the most recent bombardment of Gaza, was initially they were about to launch into saying that, well, this was a response to rocket fire from Gaza, and we pointed out, hey, the situation didn't start there. The most recent situation started with an assassination of a Hamas leader. But the situation is much longer and much larger than that. So I think we helped shape some of the coverage. We were able, for example, to get Dr. Mustafa Barghouti onto The Current on CBC. So he was heard by 1.2 million Canadians. And we know from speaking with the media that they've had a very positive response to that, so quite interesting. And also interviews in the Toronto Star, and also on TV with a program on CBC. So we're working in many locations. We have a branch here in Toronto. We have chapters also in Montreal, Ottawa, London, Hamilton, Edmonton, Victoria, Vancouver. And in some other cities, we have organizations that we work with regularly where we don't have a chapter of our own yet. There are organizations that we often work with, you know, when we're organizing an event. And for example, last year, earlier this year, we worked with the Canadian Peace Alliance, with SID actually. We hosted an all-candidates meeting during the NDP leadership campaign to put some of these issues on the public map in terms of the leadership campaign. And I think that was quite interesting. I'm sure that Thomas Mulcair did not expect that it would take four ballots for him to win the NDP leadership convention. And he only, the truth of it is that he only won because the last person left didn't have a seat in the House of Commons. And a lot of people just decided, well, they had to have a leader that had a seat in the House of Commons. But we had a booth at the NDP convention. We know a lot of people that we spoke with said they had no idea that there was a difference between the different candidates on those issues. And now they know, and now people are holding their members of parliament to account. CJPME is sometimes asked why so much of our work focuses on Palestinian issues. I think, as I said earlier, it's because the resolution of this conflict is so key to a peaceful Middle East and so key to peace in the world. And so we don't have any regrets about the investment of time and energy and other resources in this particular issue. And we get criticized quite a lot. A lot of people say, well, come on, the Palestinians are just one, you know, they're just one group, and the Palestine and Israel, they're just two countries out of, 190 countries in the world. Why are you focusing so much? But I think those of you who have been keeping track of these issues know how crucial a resolution, a just resolution to this conflict is. We need your help to make this happen. Some of the young people in the room are going to be distributing these contact cards. I'd ask you to fill it out as well as you can. And if some of you want to get involved in our local work, if you've got half an hour a week or 10 minutes a week or 2 hours a week, whatever you've got, please give us a hand. If you've got 5 minutes a week, you can be a media responder. You can write a letter in to a couple of media outlets, a quick note with the tools that we provide you. You can write a note to two media outlets in that length of time saying, I want you to improve your coverage. If you've got 20 minutes a week, you can write a couple of letters to an MP. If you've got 2 hours a week, say sometime soon, you can come out with us and leaflet and encourage people to boycott products from Israel or from the settlements. Whatever amount of time you're willing to give us, we would be very grateful for. And we're particularly active on campuses, so those of you who are at a campus, we'd be particularly interested in hearing from you. But we have lots of people, ordinary people who get up in the morning, go to work, or go looking for work, people who go and study. We're here to enable you to be effective in pushing for justice and peace in the Middle East. Thank you very much.